DW.
The big question around the cost of flying is whether or not we should make it more expensive. So a lot of people have said that if we just introduce a carbon tax, then that'll automatically make flying more expensive, with the idea that for some people it will become prohibitively expensive and they choose not to fly as a result of the price. But the problem with this is that it hits everyone equally. So I think a couple of people I spoke to from environmental groups kind of were battling with this issue and saying that, well, if you flatten out this and reduce it purely to the amount of carbon dioxide you're emitting, then you're hitting lots of different groups very differently. And one of the suggestions that's come out of a couple of political parties is to have something called a frequent flyer levy. And that means that the more you fly, the greater the price of each subsequent flight will be. So if you take one flight abroad, you might only pay a small amount extra, but your second flight will be more expensive, your third flight will be more expensive. And the overall goal of trying to price in the CO2 emissions into flying is essentially to make sure that the social and environmental costs of flying are actually accounted for. Because currently what we're paying is the price that the airline sets, and the airline isn't taking on the responsibility for the environmental costs and the effects on the climate and so on.
So, Ishi, do you think then that flying is going to become totally exclusive to those who can well afford it?
I think if countries introduce the sort of carbon taxes that are often being discussed now, then yeah, there's some risk that flying will become the preserve of the super rich. But I think if you also look at the current flying statistics, then you find in many countries, including the US and the UK, that already frequent flying is something that only the very rich really do. So you have both the US and the UK, for example, only 50% of the population really flies in any given year. And within that, a tiny minority are responsible for the vast bulk of the flights. So they're the ones flying, say, 6-7+ times a year. I mean, that obviously has implications because people who are starting to decide, okay, well, I need to reduce my carbon emissions, I need to not fly, they might not necessarily be the ones who are really responsible for the majority of these emissions.
So are the likes of you and I, Ajit, for instance, who are travelling back home to Ireland and the UK, responsible, or should we be reducing our flight intake somewhat?
It's a balancing act, I guess. There was a study that recently came out. I mean, it's unpublished yet, but it was presented at a conference recently from the Technical University of Dortmund that found that migrants kind of on average fly about 38% more than the natives of the country that they're living in. But then that also needs to be balanced with the fact that they also drive a lot less. So I think when they looked at the transport carbon footprints of migrants, they found that they're actually kind of similar because, yeah, people like you and I might fly a lot more, but we also tend to drive a lot less. I spoke to one teenager who is German-born but has Ghanaian family, who was very active in this Fridays for Future movement, very active in the youth climate movement, who chose not to travel with her mother to Ghana for a wedding because she was worried about the impact it would have on the planet. So there's definitely people making these choices and making very hard choices that I guess a lot of adults would kind of balk at. I think any decision around that needs to be made knowing kind of how much your flights are contributing to your carbon footprint and how much your carbon footprint would need to be reduced to kind of keep the planet within the boundaries that climate scientists are telling we should be keeping in to avoid the worst effects of global warming. DW.